Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to The New World Next Week. And of course, you can find everything you need at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, I'm kind of excited to flip the script a little bit as you and I discuss what we're going to do each week on New World Next Week. I sent you an email earlier today saying, you know, dude, we could probably do two different shows, one of a typical new news from New World Next Week and another of just the massive amounts of updates to stories that we've covered on New World Next Week. So we're going to go for the latter, and we are just going to give you kind of a break from the format and blast through as many updates as we can fit into our time slot here, James. We'll somewhat go chronologically. I'll set them up. You knock them down. CIA documents acknowledge role in Iran's 1953 Operation Ajax coup. The CIA has released documents which, for the first time, formally acknowledge its key role in the 1953 coup which ousted Iran's democratically elected Prime Minister, Mohammad Mossadegh. The documents were published on the Independent National Security Archive on the 60th anniversary of the August 19th coup. James, if sooner or later it finally comes out.
And in other hot breaking news, the Korean War armistice has just been signed, and a young upstart named Elvis Presley is tearing up the charts. Yeah, this is, what, 60 years too late? And something that we all knew anyway. So this just goes to show that the government is so arrogant that they think whenever they decide to tell us about something, suddenly it becomes real. So now I guess we don't have to be conspiracy theorists for talking about Operation Ajax, which has been documented and on the record for decades. But now we can finally talk about it without being conspiracy theorists. So yay.
And that was, I found it interesting when this news was coming out, that as soon as I heard it, I said, oh, that's Operation Ajax, right? So how would I have even known that off the top of my head if this weren't somewhat common knowledge for anybody that's done a bit of research and digging? James, that first story, I think, as we cycle through, we will bring it full circle with this sort of full disclosure, so to speak. But here's another. NSA surveillance said to be broader than initially believed, and it covers 75% of the internet. Declassified documents prove NSA is tapping the internet. So, James, again, another shocking surprise that the worldwide wiretap that was created by the intelligence agencies is being spied on by intelligence agencies?
Right. Was that a Washington Post or Wall Street Journal?
You know, I grabbed it from Glenn Greenwald.
Yeah. I know it was sourcing to one of those two, but either way, they're finally starting to catch up with the story, and maybe in a few months they'll finally be reporting what we were reporting months ago, which is Russ Tice's revelations that they're reporting everything. And for interestingly, for people who didn't see that, Russ Tice was actually on a PBS just a few weeks ago, actually breaking that story nationwide, although it didn't really get much traction, but the actual quote from him in that interview was, they are scooping up everything word for word. So, it's not 75%, but at least they're getting closer to admitting that they're spying on absolutely everything.
James, as long as we mention Glenn Greenwald, his partner was detained. Do you have any thoughts on that, about what may be going on there?
Well, it's an interesting debate, because there's the people saying it's classified stolen materials that he's transporting like a drug mule, and then there's Glenn Greenwald saying that, well, he should be immune because it's journalistic. Obviously, my sympathies are with Greenwald, but I think there is an interesting debate going on there, and it's interesting especially to see some of the left-wing sites and the like turning on Greenwald and starting to use the same rhetoric that they used about Assange and Snowden and everyone else, is that, oh, he's an egomaniac, and it's all becoming about Greenwald personally now. So to a certain extent, I think propaganda mission accomplished, because once again, it's becoming more about the people and less about what's actually going on in the name of the government.
Yep. So as long as we're talking about Greenwald and secret documents, let's get an update on Edward Snowden and his good friends at The Guardian. Snowden data destruction won't harm our reporting. From Russia Today, the British government's attempt to stem the tide of articles on mass surveillance have gone beyond intimidating the journalist behind the publications. Just a day after Glenn Greenwald's partner was detained at Heathrow, The Guardian's editor, Alan Rusbridger, came forward describing how the authorities pressured the newspaper to destroy documents provided by NSA leaker Edward Snowden. Mr. Rusbridger has explained why he gave in to pressure from government agents and destroyed hard drives carrying information obtained from Edward Snowden. And there is a video interview that you can watch him sort of justifying this. James?
No, that is worrying. That to me really is worrying, that the government is now going into the offices of newspapers and destroying their hard drives. I mean, A, it's absolutely ridiculous, as if they're keeping all of the information on these hard drives and now it's gone. Of course not. But I think the precedent that they're setting here is the most worrying part about it, that they can now just waltz into the offices of newspapers and make them destroy their own hard drives. It's really worrying what this is coming to. And what I fear is the normalization of all of this.
You know, it even just reminds me in a way that it's funny, as quickly as the story came, we kind of forgot about it, that Jeff Bezos is buying the Washington Post. So there's been a lot of action, I think, in what seems to be more and more, I think, kind of the dinosaurs of mainstream media.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a collapsing system, and we're watching the death throes. And the interesting part is, as it's going down, I think they're dismantling themselves. I mean, the debate that's happening within American journalistic circles right now is fascinating to watch, as we see more and more journalists piling on to the idea that, Greenwald's not a journalist, so we should be going after him and we should throw him in jail, and all of this craziness that's being actively advocated for by the journalists themselves. I mean, we know that they've been in the back pocket of the corporations that own and control and pay for them for decades, but it's coming out completely into the open now. So I think the public is being asked to either completely sign on to the bought and paid for mainstream journalism or to completely reject them. I don't think there's much room for it to be in the middle at this point. So they really are splitting the public, and it's interesting to see how that's going to shape up as the dinosaur journalistic medium continues to fall apart.
So James, I'll shuffle the list quickly, because now that we're talking about attacking journalists, the latest updates on Michael Hastings. The toxicology report that is now out, that has been twisted throughout the mainstream media. James, I don't know if you've heard this or not. Michael Hastings wrecked his car because he was a methed up stoner.
Yes, that's why the car exploded into a giant fireball and the engine flew 100 feet. That's clearly why that all took place. This is absolutely... I mean, did we expect anything different? I certainly didn't. I was assuming this was going to come out in one way or another. The interesting part to me is that the coroner's report specifically states that neither the pot nor meth that was supposedly in his system had anything whatsoever to do with the crash. They're admitting that there were just trace elements that showed he had been imbibing them earlier in the day. And the interesting part also is that all the headlines are reading meth, he was on meth, when it's really amphetamines that could trace back to any number of different substances, including over-the-counter medications and the like. So we have no idea of knowing that, but it is a convenient character assassination to follow the real-life assassination. And one other part of this is that one of the family members has come out anonymously to an alternative media website to say that they don't, that basically this is BS and they're not buying it. But they won't come out on record to say that. So again, there's been some clearly there's been some turning of the screws behind the scenes on all of this. And another aspect of this just came out on LA Weekly. And apparently not only was Hastings fearing FBI persecution and saying he had to drop off the radar and sending panicked emails, now it's also being admitted that he specifically talked about the fear of having his car tampered with. So that's now on the record as well as part of this mix. And we're still being asked to believe it's all one giant accident.
I wondered when I saw his wife show up on Piers Morgan on CNN. I instantly was like, okay, so the story's going to be changing. But James, just as you said, all the headlines screamed meth. And again, you only know that, you know, the toxicology says those things didn't really add up because you took the trouble to read the article. So that's this. It would be like saying, you know, you're an opium user when you maybe just had a poppy seed bagel.
Exactly right. And people have been arrested for that before, yep. So it's nothing to laugh at. No, it's exactly right. And it's a convenient character assassination. And you know, and I know if you and I or anyone else in the alternative media was ever set up for something like this, it would be the exact same thing. And they'd either fake the report or use some cockamamie excuse like that to gussy it up. So we shouldn't buy it at all. And the family apparently isn't behind the scenes.
James, a story that probably would have made it had this been your regularly scheduled New World Next Week. After more than 3 years already spent in confinement while awaiting trial, former Army intelligence analyst Bradley Manning was sentenced today, August 21st, to 35 years in prison for what has been described as the largest ever leak of classified government documents. General consensus, James, seems to be that they kind of backed off on giving him a massive sentence so that Obama wouldn't look like the lying war pig that he is.
Really? 35 years isn't a massive sentence? It's still about, an order of magnitude more than anyone involved with Abu Ghraib ever got, let alone the people at the top, the criminals, the war criminals who ordered it, the Rumsfelds and the Wolfowitzes and Pearls and the like. So it's really disgusting. I mean, what else can you say about this verdict other than it's absolutely disgusting? And say what you will about WikiLeaks. I have my my misgivings about them and all of that as well. But what Bradley Manning evidently did or allegedly did, absolutely still, the treatment that he's received for that is just the most telling indictment that's possible of the American injustice system.
So, yeah, if you expose how your government is killing and torturing people, you yourself might get tortured or killed. James, as we now look a little more international with the story that is now gaining a lot of attention, and you've already talked about it with our good buddy Jack Blood of Deadline Live, latest Syrian chemical attack follows the history of false flag provocations. James, it is, I can tell you, all over the mainstream media. It's on CNN and it's on all the websites. Can you break it down quickly for us?
Basically, the mainstream media is running unquestioningly with the Syrian activists and opposition's claims, unverified as they are, that 1,300 people have died as a result of a chemical attack by the Syrian military. This has to be complete baloney, unless Assad literally waited until the UN chemical weapons inspectors were in the country and then committed a chemical weapons attack literally 15 minutes from where they were actually staying in a hotel. It would be the stupidest thing that would be possible for Assad to do. There's literally nothing stupider that he could have done other than, I suppose, chemically attacking the chemical weapons inspectors themselves. But I don't buy it for a minute. I think this is clearly the only people who stand to benefit from this are the rebels, who we know have chemical weapons. I documented that in that video you referred to, so I hope people will get that video and spread it around, because they're going to try to push this. This is, I think, if there's going to be any intervention in Syria, it'll be as a result of this incident. So I hope people out there will help spread awareness of this before it gets too far out of hand.
It seems like they went for a couple of dry runs of floating this, Syria's using chemical weapons, and it never really gained traction. So they need a big kind of event, and they need to show lots of dead bodies draped in white blankets on the news.
Right, and not only did it not gain traction, it blew up in their face a couple of times, when both of the times in the last year, the last few months, they've tried to do that, they've sourced back to the rebels instead of the Syrian military. So I think anyone who just buys this unquestioningly, it needs their head checked.
James, tank at crippled Japan nuclear plant leaks highly radioactive water. Crews try to pump it out. Has the Fukushima situation inflamed again?
Well, at any rate, it's gotten officially worse, and they've just upped the INES rating, the nuclear event system rating, to a level 3. And so the fact that it's going up now 2.5 years after the incident and 1.5 years after the cold shutdown made everything magically better should show that there's something massively wrong. And one of the most interesting developments I've seen in this in the last few days is Beijing came out sending out a message that they hope that Japan will be able to get this mess under control, which is a pretty interesting statement to make diplomatically. So I think there's definitely a lot of reason for concern, and we're seeing tritium levels and the like spiking up to all-time highs again in that region. So clearly there's been another massive leak, and even the Japanese government is admitting that TEPCO is not going to be able to control this. So there needs to be some sort of international action at this point, and the Japanese government is clearly not capable of taking care of this.
So I think putting those together shows in a way where we'll flip out from a shady situation in Syria, but an obvious situation in Japan, no one's really freaking out about it enough.
Just extend the timeline long enough and it doesn't really matter, right?
Moving the goalposts back. James, the situation in Egypt has burst back into flames, but I think we should probably try and wrap this episode up. The last two points I would throw out are things that I think it helps illustrate how much strangeness is kind of coming out, and whether or not this always happens, that this sort of dog days of summer, Congress is on recess, and this is when all the kind of weird stories come out, and then we get blindsided with something in September. But Scotland Yard is looking at new information surrounding the death of Princess Diana, which, of course, it's around the anniversary. It's going to be 16 years next week. And I think that harkens back to what we were just talking about with Michael Hastings in hacking cars, possibly. Was the car stolen before it was then hacked and exploded? But just to show how insane I think a lot of this has gotten, James, and it circles back as the CIA must be busting out all of the or acquiescing to the FOIA requests. They've even admitted they were doing work at Area 51. Now, it's not aliens. It was the U-2 spy plane. But I think these kind of show and illustrate just how much kind of strangeness is coming out. And of course, we spent Monday night talking about Area 51 and Tuesday night talking about Princess Diana at my day job at Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Excellent. And I know you've had some work spilling out through Media Monarchy as well, some interviews and the like, so I hope people will be checking that out. And on my side, with all of that craziness that's going on in the world, there's also a threatening economic collapse happening in India that I'm going to be writing about for my subscriber newsletter this coming weekend, so people can subscribe for more on that. Tons of information all over the globe, and I'm glad that you have your eye on it, because there's so many balls in the air. I'm sure we've probably dropped a few, but we're doing our best. So once again, I hope people will use the hashtag New World Next Week on Twitter to inform us about upcoming stories and the like. I know people have been doing that, and we haven't been able to get to everyone's stories, so please continue to do that, and we'll get to as much information as we can. Let's wrap it up there. James, thanks again for your time.
Thanks so much. Take care.